This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Hello and welcome to 3-3-1-Cast. This podcast is your pit stop for a comedic but educational take on the crazy and illustrious world of Formula One.
We will take you through the latest news and happenings, while also offering our views and perspectives on the key moments, both on and off the track. So, to quote the great David Croft of Sky Sports F1,
it's lights out and away we go.
Hello and welcome back to episode 7 of 3-3-1-Cast.
Hello there.
Hello, hello.
How are you doing, boys?
Seven. Wow, Episode 7. Getting on.
We're doing well.
We're halfway to my magic number of 14.
Remind us of why that's such a magic number, Rory.
If we cross 14 episodes, we are in the top 50% of all podcasts in success, mate. Wow. As in what I'm saying is all like 50% of podcasts fail before they hit 14 episodes. So 14 episodes and we're doing better than most.
Exactly. And I think we're going to do it, boys. I think we got this.
Yeah, we got this.
I'm enjoying this. I've been looking forward to this all day.
Mm.
I mean, there's
French Grand Prix review.
Yeah, there's more than 7 races to go, so we'll probably make it based on that.
Yeah, definitely.
We're only halfway through the season. And when did we start this? Probably...
Oh, we missed the first...
Because it wasn't the first few races.
I think we started on the 3rd with the Miami Grand Prix.
Well, that was round 5. So
we would
have been even further in.
Yeah.
So. We're lagging.
So, do we want to start with the standings today, boys?
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty interesting weekend. We'll delve into that more, but what we did see is that Max Verstappen basically pulled away once again on Charles Leclerc, who DNF'd, and we'll talk more about that later. But, yeah, so now there are 63 points between them and the constructors. So,
And the drivers.
And that's looking... And people have been sort of speculating that it would take something a little crazy now for Charles Leclerc to come back into that. But, look, we'll dig into that later. Sergio Perez is now only 7 points behind Charles Leclerc, which is really exciting for him. And Carlos Sainz is steadily coming up the rear. He's got 144 points. But hot behind him by 1 point is George Russell, Mr. Consistent.
Oh, that's interesting. So one point between George Russell and Carlos Sainz.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Lewis Hamilton's on 127 points, so a little bit in no man's land at the moment, because then Lando's about almost half his points on 70. So that's the sort of top 7 races. The rest of them haven't really changed. Just having a flick through now. I still think Valtteri Bottas doing well in 9th with 46 points, and Esteban Ocon in 8th doing pretty well. But yeah, look, I think the real interesting conversation is how Red Bull is pulling ahead now.
Yeah, so apparently Verstappen doesn't need to win a single other race this season and he can still win championship. Yeah.
So if he only got seconds from now.
Yeah, he doesn't need to win anymore to... I mean, yeah, he'll probably... he needs to DNF for a real chance, but it looks like they have a real... Like, it almost seems as if Ferrari have handed the championship over.
Yeah, they've lost so many points that they could have scored this year, and they've just thrown it through either... unreliability or in this case in France a mistake,
because in 2018 Ferrari also had a bit of a shot at it, and they kind of threw that away with poor decisions. But then this year they've not only had the poor decisions but the unreliability against them.
This year has been definitely much more pronounced than 2018. In terms of 2018 was I think it would be fair to say Mercedes still had the better car, Ferrari with the underdog, whereas, I mean, I would almost go as far as saying Ferrari often have been the favourite. Sure, there's been some weekends where Red Bull has genuinely outraced them, but they should have won in Spain, they should have won in Azerbaijan, and they should have won in France.
Look at all these times that Charles Leclerc has gotten pole and failed to convert. In fact, Verstappen has converted more Charles Leclerc poles than he has.
Yeah. I saw a stat on that, actually. Let me just pull it up. But it was something along the lines of... Oh, yeah, here it is. So, Charles Leclerc has 16 poles and 5 race wins. Max Verstappen has 16 poles and 27 race wins.
Wow.
So, same amount of poles, but 22 more wins.
Mm. Yeah.
That's crazy for Max. Like, I mean, obviously, Red Bull have been more dominant, have had a more dominant car in the previous few seasons. So, I mean, there's definitely... some leeway you can give Charles Leclerc on that, but that's a damning stat.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to take it right back before we jump right into the French Grand Prix. We are obviously talking about the constructors' standings, and the most interesting thing, one of the most interesting things for me in the constructors' standings, is who's now in fourth. Which is Alpine.
Oh, Alpine.
Alpine jumped ahead of McLaren over the weekend.
That's so really
they
interesting.
Were going into the French Grand Prix, they were both on 89 points, and now Alpine's on 93. Oh, no, it wasn't 89. It would have been less, but they were both on the same points, and now Alpine's 93.
Yeah, very good McLaren 89. French Grand Prix for Alpine. Mm. Ocon, once again, getting some great, and Alonso both getting really good points.
Yeah,
Even though McLaren got double points as well, they just weren't the same level of points.
And I guess I think we talked about it last fortnight around Daniel Ricciardo and some of his performance. I guess I wonder if that makes it even harder for him to keep, or you know, makes it much more difficult for him to stay there when if they feel that they're losing points because he's not performing, and look at how close Precious the points on. Race is between them and Alpine, you know, wow. having a second Lando Norris there, they might be streaking ahead.
Yeah, I also think if you look at the DNFs, we had the notable ones for Daniel Ricciardo is that Leclerc, Tsunoda, and probably Kevin Magnussen DNF'd. All three were probably likely to finish in front of him, pushing him easily out of the points.
Right,
so
exactly.
I think, look, if you're McLaren, you have to take that into account. Like, they can't be relying on DNFs to score points. That's not the McLaren way. That's not what the project's meant to be.
And it seems clear now that Ocon and Alonso are the better driver pair than Norris and
that's
Ricciardo.
A good point. Yeah, if I was a team boss, I'd rather have Alonso and Ocon in my cars.
Yeah, because Alonso for Norris. 41 has got some amazing starts and reactions. Yeah. Still,
there was on the build up to the French Grand Prix, there was an amazing like spur of the moment grid interview with Flavio Briatore, who used to be the team principal at Renault when Alonso was there and was Alonso's manager for many years, so he's very closely tied to Alonso. And it was a real spur of the moment interview, and he said something like, he was like, you know, yeah, he's like driving better than he ever drove for me at age 41. It's like, I mean, Alonso has always been great, but the form that he's putting in at his age now is pretty spectacular.
And I think Alonso's only four or five races off being the most, having done the most races of all drivers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's true.
Surpassed Kimi Raikkonen, yeah. I think it is. Yeah, I think he must be second at the moment.
Yeah, and I think this season will.
And of course, Lewis joined the 300 club, so he's now raced in 300 Grand Prix.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, I felt like that was sort of a bit overlooked. Like, even I had forgotten about that until you just mentioned it.
Yeah. It's actually quite a big stat. Not many drivers get that far, right?
Yeah. But I mean, also he's got arguably, if he wants to, years ahead. Like, this guy could surpass records. I don't know who the most is. I think Stephen might be looking that up now. But
yeah, well, it's about to become Alonso.
I think it's
Raikkonen at the moment.
But Lewis could easily race for another four or five seasons if he's committed and wanting to. I think that largely depends on what car they give him over the next probably season or two. Mm-hmm. But he could comfortably, I think, become the most experienced Formula One driver in history alongside all his other, you know, most podiums, most wins, all of these things.
Yeah,
you know,
like, and it does give you hope when you see Alonso at 41 still doing well. You know, Hamilton can still be there for another six, 7, 8 years.
On this topic, we'll throw in some quick trivia, eh? Can you name the six drivers who have had more than 300
Kimi Raikkonen, Alonso.
Like Kimi Raikkonen, Alonso.
Hamilton,
that's three.
Vettel?
No, Vettel is 290.
Ah.
Perez?
Oh.
No.
David Coulthard?
No.
Mark Webber?
No.
Oh, Jenson Button.
Jenson Button, yes. And there's two more.
Mika Häkkinen?
No.
Oh, Niki Lauda? No.
No.
No, okay, you just go.
No, oh, wait, hang on. Yeah. I'm trying to rack my
one
brain.
One of them is really obvious. The other one is... the other one I'd be surprised if you did.
Oh, who's another veteran?
Jackie Stewart?
No.
No, he wouldn't know. That's true.
Is he currently on the grid?
No.
Is he?
But
Michael Schumacher?
Yeah.
Oh, Michael, of course.
Michael's 308. And the last one is Rubens Barrichello, who was for a long time Michael Schumacher's teammate.
Yeah,
raced in the 90s and right through to about 2011, I think.
Yeah,
so those are the six that have over 300 races.
Okay, well, it'll be interesting to see if who can, because you know Alonso and Hamilton have always had a bit of a rivalry. It'll be interesting to see which one of them can last, get that record.
And Hamilton's definitely got a few more, more gas in the tank than Alonso, so.
Yeah.
I don't know, but Alonso doesn't look like he's going to finish up anytime soon. If anything, he looks like he's more motivated than the likes of Daniel Ricciardo, who's
younger than him,
4 or 5 years younger.
Mm.
You know, it's interesting, eh? He's 41, but I wouldn't say he's looking his age either. He doesn't seem to be performing his age.
He isn't showing that he's old to be doing it.
I think Kimi Raikkonen did. I think towards the end of Kimi's career, we did see the decline and the lack of interest, and there was maybe one or two seasons that he just...
He called it a hobby.
Yeah, Kimi always had that lack of interest, though. That's his hallmark.
Yeah, no, that's true, but I think Fernando,
I know what you're saying.
He's looking pretty strong and pretty happy in
the car. Right, what else from the French Grand Prix do we have to mop up? I think we have to talk about Ferrari, right?
We have to talk about Ferrari.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, they once again show that their strategy team is a bunch of, let's say them, clowns, right? They're like weathermen. Apparently, well, this is a punchline. I didn't steal it. I stole this. but it's like a weatherman giving the weather and forgetting to look out the window.
Was it Russell? He was or Perez?
Perez. And they're like too busy looking at their data here to look what's actually happening live to see signs.
At that level, that is diabolical.
Yeah.
But see, then I wondered about that, and it would I'd love to ask someone within Ferrari, because often when they play the radio messages on the broadcast,
there's a delay.
Mm. So I wonder if it really was.
Signs did respond with "not now, not now."
Yeah. Still, he would have been following. I guess he, you know, would have been following closely, but. The question that I have is why they needed to pit him for that second set of medium tyres.
Apparently,
he looked I was looking at it as they should have gambled on, let's get this medium set to the end and then
take the 5 second
penalty. If the tyre falls off the cliff and we can't make it, then tough luck. But otherwise, they were on for a podium, you know, potentially.
If they were going to change it, they should have done it around the lap 34. Mark instead of so late.
They just waited so late and you lose so much time in the pit lane because it's
plus
much
5 second penalty though as well.
Yeah, plus the 5 second penalty. Another mistake
from Ferrari.
It's one of those things where it was annoying that it annoys me slightly that it's a team mistake, that one, but the driver gets punished.
Mm.
I wish there was another way to sort of punish them.
Yeah, but ultimately the team is there to serve the driver.
I kind of like it
because it almost makes it more of a team sport.
That's true. It's just, you know, to me, Sainz didn't do anything wrong. He was just following what his team told him to do, and he gets the punishment.
Talking of drivers that did things wrong...
Charlie Leclerc.
And I mean, everyone was struggling with their back tyres this race.
To spin a car like that's a rookie mistake. It's a rookie mistake.
He said that quote. I'm sure you guys have seen it. First of all, when he screamed no, that was the most emotional no I've heard in a long time.
My goodness.
But also when he said, if I keep making mistakes like that, I don't deserve to win the championship.
Yeah.
I mean, that's bang on, though. Mm-hmm. That stat before about Max with his 16 poles and 27 wins versus Charles Leclerc's much less, that is it. It's just not making those mistakes. It's about being clinical right through to the end, and that's what Max has got.
Mm.
You know, I think the extra experience out in front's giving him that, but yeah, I mean, he can't keep making these mistakes.
Yeah, and you've got to look at it from the sense that Max... in this race gained, I don't know if he got fastest lap or not, but if he didn't get fastest lap, Max gained 25 points for the race win. Charles Leclerc got nothing for not finishing, whereas had Leclerc won, he would have taken 7 points at least out of Verstappen. Even if Verstappen finished second, he would have gained 7 points on Verstappen. So look at the gulf that creates. And like you say about that stat, if Verstappen can just finish second, that's probably right. I'm trying to think of the math, but
there's no one else threatening, unless Sainz goes on a mad streak or Leclerc goes on a mad streak and Red Bull hit reliability issues. It is pretty done and dusted.
It feels like Verstappen's been handed the championship.
Well, I don't really feel like Max is easing up anytime soon. It's almost like he's just still building into the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just, it seems like now the only way Ferrari can catch them is if Red Bull makes similar mistakes, have similar, as you were saying, you know, similar they need a couple of races where Max doesn't finish and Charles wins. That's what they need. But whether that comes, I don't know. It seemed Red Bull had some hiccups early on, but they haven't had one for a while.
At the very least, I want to see Ferrari come second in the constructors. You know,
I think
it's not a given anymore. You know, like Mercedes are closing in on that second.
No, I think that is a given that Ferrari will finish.
Well, I mean,
I don't think Mercedes can catch them.
I mean, I like this race with a second
44
and third,
points. Yeah. Like, granted, like that's still a lot, but. If the current pattern of Ferrari with reliability issues and mistakes and, you know, their pit wall making errors as well, like, almost I would love to see like a graph, because I think that number's just steadily been closing every single race.
Yeah, well, that's,
you know, so like maybe by the end of the season Red Bull have run away with it, but maybe we'll see a really close battle between Ferrari and Mercedes. I don't know.
I just think Ferrari, the reason I'm saying Ferrari will come out on top, because Ferrari have a race-winning car and Mercedes don't. And to me, Mercedes are being really good at picking up the pieces, but
they might not do it in time.
I think Ferrari will still score strong points more often than they give away easy points.
All right, well, okay, well, let's have a word about Mercedes here, because Lewis Hamilton finishing second and George Russell having an incredible race and finishing third. You say they don't have a race-winning car, and I agree, probably on frontline speed they don't. But I can't remember, but there was a point during the race where Hamilton was out on track, he didn't have very fresh tyres. Yeah, that's right, he didn't have fresh tyres, and I think he just had some clear air, but so did Max, and yet he was still lapping quicker than Max Verstappen was for a good few laps. So we can talk about how Mercedes don't have a winning car, maybe Max wasn't pushing, sure,
but I think
the fact is their upgrades are gradually working and they are gradually making their way to the front. And I think when we saw Russell overtake Sergio Perez, that was a showing that if Red Bull's a better car, but if he's not on form, he's not on his pace, it will get eaten by Mercedes.
I mean, what was that, a case of something about the yellow flag or the virtual safety car, whatever, and then Perez just didn't quite put the throttle on fast enough?
There was a glitch to do with the virtual safety car. I remember reading something about that there was something.
It was quite an easy overtake that Russell made, and I was gutted, obviously, as a Perez fan, though conflicted because I like Russell too. In saying that, was not a fan of when he collided to Perez earlier in the race, and the first thing he said was, Perez just turned into me. He just turned
that
into
was
me.
That's real right. Interesting, that exchange, was right. Between, and then when Toto Wolff had to step in and tell him to
calm down
and actually, you're wrong, George.
Yeah. Yes, like, because Russell's like, give me the place back.
Yeah, well, he is literally Sergio's corner and Russell lunged at him and got it wrong. Like, there was actually no two ways about it.
Dived into it.
But I think it's that emotional racing that we saw in that altercation with Valtteri, that prior season with Valtteri Bottas. Like, he does have that hot-headedness still, I think, because he's young.
It's true. He has a surprisingly hot head, I feel, for what he's like off the track. But, you know, he's obviously, quite competitive, as they all are. But I just really want to see him not be so quick to blame others, you know, and just keep it quiet if you're not sure if you're in the wrong or not.
On the broad topic, then, of Mercedes, do you think they'll win a race this year?
Yes.
Yeah, it came pretty close.
Yeah, I think there will be, probability would say that there will be at least one race where, for whatever reason, Max and one of the Ferraris will be out of the running. And I think that a Mercedes on the right sort of track, on the right sort of strategy, could beat a Carlos Sainz or a Sergio Perez.
Yeah, so it has to kind of get Verstappen out of the picture somehow. Yeah. And then, Perez.
I think it has to get Leclerc out as well. And I think Sainz is quick, and he's Sainz the last couple races, he's been one of the quickest drivers on the grid. But also, I don't think he's as comfortable in the car as Charles Leclerc is. And I think somebody like Lewis is just a driver just that one level above still.
Yeah, I mean, Sainz got driver of the day this French Grand Prix, which I was happy for. He did pull off a pretty good drive considering everything.
Starting at 20th, and where did he finish again? Finished 5th. But I think arguably, like, there was a podium out there potentially.
Yeah, it would have been so interesting to know what the data was telling them about the tyres and continuing on with that media, because he had just overtaken Perez and then they brought him into box and it was like, I don't know. But
Yeah. I mean, I'm just reading a couple of YouTube comments on the highlight. Let me know what you guys think of this. Why is there no mention of Kevin Magnussen's unbelievable start? He just climbed 7 places. No big deal.
That's right.
I didn't really notice that either.
Yeah, neither did I.
I actually think I saw it on the places climbed counter and just thought it was a glitch because I was like, oh, what? I'm just pretty sure I didn't see that.
I remember them saying something about he had a roaring start whereas Sainz was a lot more cautious because Sainz, I think, only made up 1 or 2 places on the first lap from 20th. But he was on the hard tyre, so...
Another commenter here was quite upset that Ocon only got a 5-second penalty for basically ruining
Tsunoda's
race.
Yeah.
But quite lax on the penalties, eh?
Yeah, well, I think the penalty rightfully should be applied to the seriousness of what he did, not the consequences of what he caused. So, you know, it was unfortunate that Tsunoda obviously spun out and that it was the first lap and that it was, you know, ruined his race. But the mistake that Ocon made by throwing it up the inside was not hugely egregious that it deserved more, in my opinion. It was a penalty that's a 5-second time.
Do you think that we could see something where within the first 5 laps of the race, all the penalties are almost doubled, and then the next 10 laps, they're 75%, and it just gradually works down? Because would that encourage drivers to be a little bit more cautious, and then hopefully we have more cars running for the whole race rather than there being lots of crashing out?
Well, you're right that it would make people cautious. If you're too cautious,
is it less entertaining?
No interest,
like, yeah. I get that, but if you're looking at it from purely a point of view of how do we keep more cars there till the end,
Potentially
if you doubled the weight of the punishments in the first 5 laps, maybe that would
it
have
does
that
feel result. Really frustrating when your favourite driver gets knocked out of a race. The person that caused it gets a 5-second penalty, which, if that happens early enough on, makes no difference really to their race. I mean, a tiny one, but you can get your 5-second penalty out of the way and still win.
I disagree. I just go back to what I said before, that it should fit what the mistake was, not what the consequences of it were. Because equally so, that same move could have done the exact same thing and just hit Tsunoda a different way, and Tsunoda just goes a little bit off and loses one position.
Yeah,
and
that's
why,
true.
Then my question is, well, why should him getting spun off be a different penalty when Ocon did the same thing? If you say, you know, two alternate realities, Ocon does the same thing in both, but he gets a way stricter penalty in one of them because the consequences were...
Well, it's
I don't
a bit
really
like when,
that.
Like I mentioned, Russell hit into Perez, but Perez was fine. Maybe that's why they kind of overlooked that, but if Perez had spun out, they probably would have had to give him a 5-second penalty.
I think George's move was... It was rash, but it was...
It wasn't Sergio's fault.
It wasn't Sergio's fault. But Sergio continued on ahead and it was fine.
Yeah. All right. Is that everything we kind of have to say?
France was a good race, to be honest. Really enjoyed it. I was really disappointed to see Mick not do anything with his sort of current streak.
He got spun out at
he
one
did,
point
yeah.
by. I'm trying to remember who it was. Not sure I can.
I can't remember. No, but
you felt bad for Mick where it was like, you could see, I think it was Guan Yu Zhou actually, where he lost the car and you could see that he had lost control of the car and he just went into Mick and...
Yeah, I think Albon 13th was really cool. Gasly still struggling down in 12th. It just...
Him.
I don't know what it is because I now think that Tsunoda actually is looking consistently better in that car.
The shine is coming off Gasly a wee bit this year, eh?
Yeah,
and he did sign a new deal with AlphaTauri, right?
He didn't really have anywhere else to go.
No.
Well... It was a new deal, but he was already on a contract for 2023 anyway. I think it was to quash rumours.
Oh, okay.
To sort of just show, yes, he's staying
he's
for
committed.
2023. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
But then Stroll holding off Vettel, they had a nice little duel at the end.
Oh, that was funny right at the end, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was good.
Funny.
It'll be nice to see Aston Martin start doing a little bit better. I mean, they've just been battling this season.
It's sure. Yeah, a real step backwards for them.
Yeah, but look, and then Lando Norris trying to carry the team in seventh. I think we've sort of spoken well about McLaren so far. It's just Ricciardo just really pinning them down a little bit, and Alpine have taken them over. But yeah, France was great. Do you guys have anything more to add on France?
I thought, here's a funny sort of anecdote for you. I was watching the race. I started watching the race live, and I was up in Auckland, and I was watching it live, and I knew I had a flight early in the morning, and I was pretty tired. It'd been a long day. And I was watching the race, and it was exciting because Verstappen was chasing Leclerc, and it got to about lap 15 or 16. I thought, oh, I'm too tired. I can watch it in the morning. No dramas. I'm going to watch the rest of it in the morning. And as it turned out, I literally pressed pause and closed my laptop probably about 10 or 15 seconds before Leclerc dropped it and crashed.
So you went to sleep with lovely dreams about Leclerc.
Yeah, which when you factor in the fact I was streaming and there's a time delay, he had probably already binned it in real life when I put it down.
Probably
thinking,
a good thing though, because you would have kept watching if he had binned it.
Yeah, I probably would have, and then I may not have woken up for my flight. But it was.
I reckon that's why he dropped it. He just knew. Yeah. Over in New Zealand, Stephen will miss his flight if I don't drop it.
But yeah, the interesting thing I guess I'd add that I really enjoyed about France up until Leclerc dropped it was it really brought back that tension that we haven't seen for a long time, because cars previously couldn't follow each other for ages, whereas we just saw, you know, Max and Charles separated by just like a second, or, you know, it was like Max was chasing Charles for that whole first 15, 16 laps of the race until Leclerc dropped it. And that was just so, like, there wasn't, you know, they weren't overtaking each other and they weren't, you know, throwing moves up the inside, but it was still really exciting and really tense because they were so evenly matched and sort of streaking away from everyone else. And I loved that tension between them.
It's fair to say that this has been a very entertaining season so far. So whatever Toto Wolff says about it, he had a bit of a comment saying that he reckons F1's getting... I mean, I don't know if this got misquoted or whatever, but he's saying that it's not as interesting because the Ferrari and Red Bull are so much better than everyone else, but it's very hypocritical to say.
Yeah, I still want to know what the context of that...
Surely, like, you couldn't be that unself-aware, that oblivious to the fact that Mercedes have been dominant for, like, 7 years before that.
Far more dominant, you know.
Unless he was being unbiased and was almost making a comment as well on his team's domination for that number of years. Maybe that was the context of it.
To be fair to him, he is not wrong. It would be great.
Yeah. But he's probably the one person, besides maybe Lewis Hamilton, that shouldn't be complaining about F1 being boring this year.
Well, considering their role,
absolutely.
Oh, you guys never got to experience being a fan in 2016, where Mercedes won every race bar two.
Oh, that's bleak. That's so bleak.
Well, at least it was a tense year that year between Rosberg, Hamilton and Rosberg. Right? Yeah. But then, like, 2017. But then 2017, Vettel started winning a few.
I think it was 18, 19, 20, where it was just Ham, Bott, Ver was the podium.
Yeah, 2019, 2020, that was certainly the case. Mm. Yeah.
Anyway, lads, so do we want to go to...
Should we do a quiz?
An F1 quiz.
We'll do a quiz.
Quiz.
I think the way this is going to run is that Stephen will be quiz master. Josh and I are the test subjects here. We're probably on a fairly similar sort of playing field and Formula One knowledge, and I believe it's a quiz on last season. So Stephen's going to be asking the questions. Josh, what's your buzzer sound
going to be? Yeah, I was going to say, let's make it... I'm going to do like... what am I going to do? Like, maybe one of my favourite drivers. I'll just say Perez is my buzzer.
Perez is your buzzer. What's your buzzer, Rory?
Pumpernickel.
Very good.
Okay.
Very good.
All right.
Can we make this maybe 10 minutes?
10 minutes. Yeah. Okay. Well, there's 50 questions, so I don't think we're going to be...
Let's
do 25.
I think we
can do
10 minutes.
Yeah.
First of 25 wins.
Okay.
Okay. So, well, someone's going to have to keep
count.
Score.
We'll just keep count of our own if we get them right.
All right. Okay. First question. And just a reminder, as Rory said, this is all about the 2021 Formula One season. We've got this quiz from F1.com. So, first of all, which of these teams launched their 2021 car first? Aston Martin, Red Bull...
Pumpernickel. Aston Martin.
Right, Rory's locked it in. You're wrong. It was McLaren who I didn't even get to say.
So we need some kind of penalty if you're just going to negative one.
No, I actually didn't do that to be a bit of a knob. I was just trying to... I genuinely thought it was Aston Martin because I liked their car last season.
Yeah, okay. Mercedes had the W12. Red Bull had the RB16B. What three-digit designation did Alfa Romeo give to their 2021 car?
Perez.
What's your answer, Josh?
WB69.
No. Pumpernickel.
What's your answer, Rory? Yours is wrong.
AR12.
Please don't be...
I'm just going to put in something random. I can't even remember myself. It was the C41.
Can we make a rule, Stephen, that if you don't know the question, please don't ask us, because we're not going to
play. Let's see if this one. Which driver was gifted a T-shirt with a person's six-pack, muscles not beer, on the front?
Pumpernickel. Danny Rick?
And then I'll lock in Perez Vettel.
Neither of those answers are there. You've either got Norris, Latifi, Russell, Mazepin, or Raikkonen.
Perez, Latifi.
Latifi, all right, we'll go to Latifi. No, it was George Russell. Even I don't remember any of this.
God, these are niche questions,
these are
aren't they?
Very niche, eh? Okay, name one reserve or test driver, not a full-time driver, that participated in a practice session this season, not including the end-of-season test.
Pumpernickel.
So a reserve or test driver, essentially, who drove... In a free practice session.
Pumpernickel.
Rory.
Nico Hülkenberg.
Hülkenberg. Well, that is...
Oh, is that right? Because he was... He wasn't... Was he an official reserve driver?
Yeah, for Aston Martin.
I guess he technically...
He raced, didn't he?
He's not a full-time driver, but he participated in a practice session, so... Oh, you didn't know. They didn't count that as an answer.
What? But he did.
But did he in 2021, though?
Who's that Polish guy that...
He took part in 2020.
Pumpernickel?
No.
He took part in 2020, but he didn't...
Josh always butchers this guy's name.
Okay, anyway. Josh.
Polish guy.
Yeah.
Old Polish guy with the hand.
You're on the right...
with the hand.
Oh, come on. You're on the right track.
I'm ready to say it.
Perez,
you've got one crack.
No, I just can't. I can't.
Pumpernickel, Robert Kubica.
We'll give Rory one.
Was that painful for you?
I just couldn't think of it.
It was pretty painful to listen to as well. All right, in Bahrain, Lewis Hamilton managed to win the opening race of the season for the first time since...
Perez, 2020.
Either between 2014 and 2017.
So why do you
want to say that first before we answer?
Sorry. You guys should just get more knowledgeable.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
Okay, I'll give you a... I'll make it... I can tell you it's not 2016.
But you just said it's between 2014 and 2017, didn't you?
Yeah. I'm saying he managed to win the opening race of the season for the first time since...
Pumpernickel.
Yeah.
Sorry, that worked.
Just guess, 14, 15 or 17 are your options. Oh, actually, is it? No, it would be
15.
Sure. 15, let's go. You're correct, Rory.
Ka-chow. I did not know that.
opening race, okay, which driver, this is a good one, which driver finished higher on the F1 debut? Mick Schumacher or Michael Schumacher?
Perez.
Yes?
Michael Josh? Schumacher.
Josh has gone Michael Schumacher. He's locked it in first. It was actually Mick Schumacher.
What was that?
Because Mick Schumacher took P16 in Bahrain on his debut. Michael Schumacher DNF'd from the Belgian Grand Prix.
What? Oh, wow.
I thought he got 7th or something. He did really well.
He got really well in qualifying, Michael Schumacher, but then, the race didn't go so well. Yuki Tsunoda became the 65th driver to score points on his F1 debut. Who was the last Japanese driver to score points in F1? Was it Takuma Sato, Yuji Ide, Kamui Kobayashi, or Kazuki Nakajima?
Pumpernickel. Do you want to go?
I think, Josh got that first.
Nakajima.
He's going Nakajima.
Can you read out those options again? Because I want to get
Takuma
his name right.
Sato, Yuji Ide, or Kamui Kobayashi?
Kobayashi.
You're going Kobayashi. Josh's going Nakajima. It was Kobayashi.
That
was the only driver out of all of those that I actually had heard of before. Yeah.
Kez Nakajima used to drive for Williams, I think. Takuma Sato was a bit older. He was sort of mid-2000s. Okay, who led the championship standings after Imola hosted the second Grand Prix of the season?
Could you ask that question again?
So who led the championship after Imola, which was the second Grand Prix of the season? Was it Hamilton, Verstappen, or Hamilton and Verstappen were equal?
It was Verstappen.
You were going Verstappen?
I would just say they were equal.
Equal, okay. You're both wrong. It was Lewis Hamilton.
Two races. We are useless.
He was on 44 points to Verstappen's 43.
Oh, it was so close.
Thanks to a fastest lap.
That does sound familiar that he did get a good start to the season now.
At Imola, which Alpine driver took the team's first ever point? So consider Alpine a new team. So which Alpine driver took their first ever point in the team's first ever point in F1
Perez.
Before a post-race penalty promoted their teammate into the top 10?
It was, well, that makes
so it's one of two.
It's,
right?
I mean,
so
I
yeah, it's either Ocon or Alonso.
So whatever you go for, so I'm
which,
going for the other.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I was about to say Alonso, but now you're saying that, I'm going to say Ocon.
I would have said Ocon.
So, okay, you're both saying Ocon.
Well, no, I'll say Alonso, but
yeah.
Oh, okay, well, it was Ocon. So Ocon finished P10.
No, well, he was
P11. So he finished P10, and then there was a penalty for Kimi Raikkonen, and Ocon went to P9, and Alonso went. That was a confusing question. I'm still confused about that. Okay, which driver did not lead a lap in the 2021 Portuguese Grand Prix? Was it Max Verstappen, Lewis Hamilton, Valtteri Bottas,
Pumpernickel,
or Sergio Perez?
Max Verstappen.
Going Max Verstappen. What about you, Josh?
Perez. Bottas.
It's pulling me off every time you say Perez. Do I think that's your answer?
Yeah, that's pulling me off as well. Rory's got that one right. It was Max Verstappen.
How
did
you know?
I don't know. Sorry, I just dug in my brain that
Portugal was.
Yeah, I think the fact it was going to be a quiz question must have meant it was slightly weird. So
yeah.
I just think I picked
that. Yeah, that's a good one. Who took pole and fastest lap in Portugal? Was Perez. It Lewis Hamilton, Verstappen, Perez, or Bottas? Josh?
Hamilton.
You're going Hamilton?
Read the options to me, please.
Hamilton, Verstappen, Perez, or Bottas? Bottas. Let's have a look.
Bot.
Oh, he's got it right. Yes, it was Valtteri Bottas.
Oh, good work.
Both took pole and far. God, that seems so long ago now that Bottas was at Mercedes, eh?
It does. It does feel weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
I miss him.
Hamilton took his 100th pole in Spain last year, and then he went on to win the race. What percentages of his wins were delivered from pole position after that race? Was it 49%, 59%, or 69%?
Perez, 49%.
Okay,
Pumpernickel, 69% for the culture.
Okay. It was actually 59%.
Yeah. How many more questions are there?
We're up to 13 in. So you tell me when you want me to stop.
I mean, Rory's pretty much got this.
Well, let's do three. Should we do three more?
Okay.
Three more.
Who led the most laps in the Spanish Grand Prix? Was it Verstappen, Hamilton, Bottas, or Perez?
Perez. Perez.
Read them out again.
Verstappen, Hamilton, Bottas, or Perez?
And read the question, please.
Who led the most laps in Spain?
Lewis.
You're going Hamilton? It was actually Verstappen. Do you remember what happened in that race? Where Verstappen was leading for a lot of it, and then Mercedes were both of them were so far ahead. Mercedes was second. They rolled the dice on a third pit stop because it didn't cost them anything because they were behind Verstappen. They couldn't get past him, so they thought, let's do another pit stop because we'll still be second. We'll still come out second. And they rolled the dice, and he caught up the gap and overtook Hamilton.
Oh, geez.
Overtook Verstappen. And then the reverse happened at the 2021 French Grand Prix when Red Bull did that to Mercedes.
Right.
It was a two great strategical races.
Mm.
Right. A quote, which driver predicted this quote before the 2021 season? Quote, my favourite race will be Monaco because I run those streets.
Oh,
Pumpernickel.
What is that?
Josh got there first.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Daniel Ricciardo.
Both going Daniel Ricciardo. I would have said Daniel Ricciardo. Yep, that was.
I can almost hear him saying that.
That's such a Daniel. Like, who else realistically on the grid? Can you imagine, like, nah.
Bottas saying that.
Like, Mazepin saying, Mazepin. I run these streets.
Okay, Charles Leclerc, he took pole position in Monaco. He became the first Ferrari driver since who to take pole there?
Oh.
Was it Schumacher, Massa, Kimi Raikkonen or Sebastian Vettel?
Pumpernickel. Yep. Felipe Massa.
Raikkonen.
Oh, I think Josh might have this one. Correct. Raikkonen was the last Ferrari driver to take pole. It doesn't say when, but I think it was 2017 by the looks of it. Yes. Okay, this one looks pretty boring.
Should we do a final question?
Do one more.
That one you're never going to get. So
do you know how many points you're on?
Skip on.
I have no idea. Just
no,
the
no.
For
I
agree with
one as well. This one decides the winner.
All right.
It's winner takes all.
Winner takes all.
Okay, I'm going to find you a good
how
one.
About we make a rule that we can't say our keyword unless you actually, because I want Stephen to read it all out, have time to think. If you know what it is, say your catchphrase.
Okay.
Okay. Which of these drivers crashed at the end of qualifying in Azerbaijan, securing Charles Leclerc a second consecutive pole position? Was it Mazepin, Latifi, Russell, Giovinazzi, Sainz, or Ricciardo?
Perez.
Yeah, who are you
Latifi.
Locking in, Josh?
Your legs read those Latifi. Again.
It was Mazepin, Latifi, Russell, Giovinazzi, Sainz, or Ricciardo.
Oh,
Pumpernickel, Carlos Sainz.
Carlos Sainz. Do you want to change your answer, Josh? I'll give you one chance.
Yeah, I want to say... Wait, which race was it, sorry?
It was Azerbaijan.
Oh.
Qualifying. So Charles Leclerc took pole, but someone crashed, which secured it. He was on provisional pole, crashed and ended the session.
Mm.
Ricciardo, Sainz, Giovinazzi, Russell, Latifi or Mazepin?
It could be a few of them.
I can hear like the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire music playing in the background. Right.
I think I'm wrong, but okay.
Do you want to change your answers? I'm going to go one more time. Josh, what is your answer?
I think Russell. Russell's the
Russell?
One I wanted to say.
Rory, are you going to change your answer?
No, I'll stick on Carlos.
That's a very good decision.
It's Carlos Sainz.
Come on.
Stephen, you really gave him a chance to change
his mind. Yeah, you did.
You promoted
my loss.
That would have been funny.
Yeah, that would have been brutal.
I'd even clicked on the answer, so I knew it was Sainz when I was going, do you want to change your answer?
I should have looked in the mirror or something like
good
that.
Good on you for holding out, Sheldon.
Yeah, wow. Well.
Yeah. Oh, that was fun.
That was good.
Yeah, they were a little bit too, I was thinking they specific. Were going to be a bit more overarching.
I think we did all right there.
Yeah. I would do better if... doing a quiz for this season because I've been watching every single race where I don't think I did that.
Yeah.
But that'll be interesting to
do. Yeah, that's good. We should do it again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, we have the options of Beat the Boss or Stephen's Mousehole.
I would love
Beat the Boss. Oh. Yeah. I want to be the boss because I've been quizzing you guys. I want you to
we can do a Beat the Boss.
Okay, well, have you got one ready, Chilla? Because I do.
No, I don't.
I do.
Okay, cool.
Okay,
you can start, Josh. I'll find
this one may take a wee while, but... basically, I want you to name the nationality of every single driver on the grid.
Okay.
And I will list them. I will just say a name.
Okay, you say their name and I tell the nationality.
So,
okay.
Lando Norris.
British.
Daniel Ricciardo.
Australian.
George Russell.
British.
Yep. Charles Leclerc.
Monegasque. He's from Monaco.
Mm-hmm. Carlos Sainz.
Spanish.
Yes. Max Verstappen.
Dutch.
Yes. Sergio Perez.
Mexican.
Correct. Lewis Hamilton.
British.
That's obvious. Pierre Gasly.
French.
Yes. Valtteri Bottas.
Finnish. He's from Finland.
Yeah. Mick Schumacher.
German.
Esteban Ocon.
French.
Yeah. Lance Stroll.
Canadian.
Fernando Alonso.
Spanish.
Sebastian Vettel.
German.
Yuki Tsunoda.
Japanese.
Yep. Alex Albon.
Thai.
We'll allow
He races under a Thai flag. That's correct.
It says Thai British.
Yeah, he's Thai British. Ooh. But he races under a Thai flag.
I've given him a couple others because Verstappen says Belgian Dutch.
Oh, does he? I didn't
and
know that.
And Norris is Belgian.
Well, I'm
English.
Answering under what flags they
okay, that's
what
fine.
What flags they race under.
Zhou Guanyu.
China.
Guanyu.
Chinese.
Yep. Kevin Magnussen?
Danish.
Damn, I thought that was the one where I was hoping to get him.
Yeah.
Nicholas Latifi?
Canadian.
Okay, and just as a bonus, I'm going to make you answer these two as well.
Yeah.
Kimi Raikkonen?
Yeah, Finnish.
And
come
Nico
on.
Hülkenberg.
Nico Hülkenberg, German.
That's all I've got here on my list.
Got any hard ones?
Oh. All right, where's Zach Brown from?
America.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
USA.
Where's Gunther from?
Oh, Gunther.
He's Austrian, isn't he?
Oh, well, yeah, I was going to actually say British, but...
Okay, Gunther. Well, tell us where Gunther's
Gunther.
From. Tell us
he
where
probably is
from.
Austria now that you mention it.
No, all right, say your name.
Yeah, Austria.
Okay. Do you know, all right, so you're saying... Do you want? Where do you want to say he was born? You want to say he's born in Austria?
No, I'm going to say he's born in Britain, but he's raised Austrian.
What I would like to say he was born in Germany.
Both wrong. Born in Marino, Italy.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I didn't really.
He holds dual Italian and American citizenship.
Oh, so he's Italian.
Oh, what does this do for you?
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Boss is beaten, I guess, kind of.
Yeah,
you did get Josh's main one right.
You did get,
yeah, I did.
Let's give it to you because you did name them all. Pretty impressive, I guess. Yeah.
And without hesitation, I might add.
Mm.
I've got one. I'm going to bring the mood down a little bit, so apologies for that.
Oh.
How many F1 racers have lost their lives so far?
How many people have lost their life in F1? 73.
Don't tell me.
It's my guess.
46.
46.
So that's a positive outcome.
I'm pleased that, yeah.
Do you know who the oldest driver was to pass away?
Lewis
Hamilton.
No, I was going to say, I thought you were going to say who's the oldest driver, and it's going to say Louis Chiron, I think it is. Or he's up there somewhere. Oldest driver to pass away, I wouldn't have a clue. Yeah, no idea.
Old fella, older racing fella.
Older,
it's not a big name.
Yeah, no.
Well, sort of is a big name. Chet Miller?
No, I've never
heard of him. No, he was 50 years old.
No.
Do you know who the youngest driver was?
Youngest driver to Francois Sivert?
No.
No, okay.
Ricardo Rodriguez, who was 20 years old.
20.
Yeah. No, I didn't know that.
Okay, one.
I'm beaten.
Yeah, that's 1-1. I've got one here.
Okay.
You probably know this one.
Oh, thanks for the win, Josh.
The shortest circuit by lap distance.
Monaco.
Okay, well, let's make it a little harder, okay?
Come on.
Yeah, fine.
I love how they've been ranging from really easy to really hard.
Yeah.
So, how short... All right, tell me how many miles or kilometres, maybe you prefer kilometres.
Kilometres, yeah.
Is the circuit, and I'll give you
it's
within
3.1. 3.1.
He knew that.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
He just knew
it's
that.
3.1.
I wouldn't have known that.
No, I didn't know.
Is it 3.183?
It only says 3.1 k's, yeah. You know more than this.
Okay. I think it might... I'm probably wrong there, but 3.1, yeah.
Okay, well, I can hit you with another one, Stephen.
Do you know, here's an interesting fact. You know, all F1 races are, I think it's 305 kilometres long. Like, that's the distance they have to... That's how they set the laps by they, you know...
So is each race...
Because you know
almost,
how each...
Almost exactly,
lap,
yeah, it
yeah,
varies.
The lap, but in Monaco, they only do 260 Ks.
Oh, right.
But everywhere else, they do longer.
Oh, that's cool.
I think it's 305 or it's 300 or something. It's something like that. But Monaco's 260.
So, okay, interesting.
They do 40 kilometres less.
Interesting.
Anyway.
All right, well, try this on for size. So I want the track and the year of when Formula One had its closest finish.
Oh, the closest finish. It was Indianapolis in America in 2002 between Michael Schumacher and Rubens Barrichello. Is it the Austrian Grand Prix in 2002? Okay, it's not. But Indianapolis must be up there. Right? Goodness. Was it in 2002?
Nope.
Was it in 2001?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be a long day if you keep going down.
What year was it in? Can you give me
1971.
Oh, okay. It's at the Italian Grand Prix.
Oh, yeah.
Monza.
Yeah.
And it was between... I don't know who it was between, but I know it was at Monza, yeah.
Yeah, so it was at Monza 1971, and it was won by Peter Gethin, who was racing for BRM. And he clinched it by 1/100th of a second from Ronnie Peterson.
Oh, okay. Can you tell me what the difference was in the 2002 US Grand Prix? Because it was damn close.
No, I can't, because it's going to take me too long to Google.
Well,
but that's an incredibly close race. I'd like to see a replay of that.
Because the 2002 US Grand Prix was after... So in the 2002... This can sort of segue into down the rabbit hole... I think I told this one the other week. I think I've already told this one, but the 2002 Austrian Grand Prix, when Ferrari ordered Rubens Barrichello to move out of the way, to move over. He was leading from Michael Schumacher, and Michael Schumacher is the lead Ferrari driver. Rubens is number two, and they asked Rubens to move out of the way to let Schumacher pass.
Never heard this one.
You haven't heard this one? Okay, so they asked him to do it, but it was pretty early on in the season, and it was pretty early on in the season, and so people didn't think, like, it wasn't necessary. And then Rubens was arguing on the radio about it, and in the end, they were sort of thinking, you know, they'd do it with two or three laps to go, but in the end, he waited until he got round the final corner and then slowed right down, and it was a photo finish by, like, tiny margin, like only a tenth or something between them as Michael crossed the line. And then on the podium, like, Michael was really Michael was so uncomfortable with it, and he was like, he pushed Rubens up onto the podium, like on the first place spot, and gave him like the trophy and was trying to
see,
like,
he's real bitter about it.
It was real awkward.
I want to see this.
Fans were booing.
Well, because I guess what he did was, he pretty much, because obviously racing drivers, they don't like just to win on paper, but they want to cross that line first.
Yeah.
So I guess, was it Barrichello? It was Rubens Barrichello.
Yeah.
Barrichello, I guess, almost took that away by just, you know, I could have easily won this race, but I left it for you because you're the golden
boy.
But
it sounds a bit like Schumacher and Barrichello had a little bit of a, like a brotherhood kind of moment. Like,
yeah, they were good teammates, but I think what it simply was that Ferrari management wanted Schumacher to win, but you could see they put Schumacher in a pretty uncomfortable position.
Oh, wait, so he wasn't sort of...
I don't think Schumacher...
He wasn't, like, angrily going, no, fine, you go up on the podium. He was actually come on.
Schumacher was being, like, nice about it.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I thought it was more like he was salty, so he was like,
It sounds like he was salty at the team for taking it away from him.
Yeah.
Not salty at his teammate.
I think his teammate
was proving a point, you're right, about not slowing down. Down to the last minute.
Like, I could have won this, but I'm not gonna.
Apparently,
according to Wikipedia here, which has a citing to a site I've never heard of, so I don't know if this is true or not, but apparently Ferrari advised Barrichello they would terminate his contract if he failed to move over.
That's pretty toxic, isn't it?
Barrichello radioed team boss John Todd of a promise he made not to relinquish victory to a driver. This prompted Todd to reply to Barrichello he was required to obey his instruction in order to preserve Ferrari's best interests. Personnel on the Ferrari pit gantry observed the television screens and noticed Michael Schumacher could not get close enough to pass Barrichello in the final seven laps. The start of the final lap, Barrichello led by 1 second, and as he entered the final corner, Ross Brawn told Michael over the radio that Barrichello would yield. And Barrichello braked in the final 100 to 50 yards to comply with Ferrari's instruction. Michael Schumacher slowed more than his teammate because he had hoped that no team orders would be applied. And Schumacher passed Barrichello for his fourth win in a row in 2002. I'm just trying to find what the gap was between them. Oh, yeah, Barrichello was 0.182 seconds behind in second position. So there's 0.182 seconds between them.
I want to see this. We should.
Crazy, yeah.
I don't know if we can put this on the Instagram, but that's so cool.
Yeah, it was pretty awkward. But then the other thing of it is later on in the year, in the US Grand Prix, the reverse happened, I think it was, where Schumacher slowed right down to let... He slowed down to, and Rubens Barrichello won, so he kind of did it back. But I think it was... Or it was played off or talked about as unintentional in that... They were Michael was trying to stage a dead heat to try and get, and then Rubens only won by, so Rubens in that race won by 0.011 seconds. So that's less than a tenth of a second. That's a hundredth of a second. So
that's very close.
Like, I think it's fair to say that they didn't plan for Rubens to win that race potentially. Mm. You know, given how close it was. Yeah,
the smallest margin of victory in
an American Grand Prix and the closest margin in a Formula One race since the introduction of timing to the nearest thousandth of a second.
What was the Beat the Boss score at, just to close it? Because I've got one more interesting one here. Was it 2-2?
I think it was 2-2.
Okay.
Let's just go 2-2.
All right. So this one is about race attendance.
Oh, okay.
I wonder if you can tell me...
Which race has the most attendees ever?
Yeah.
Was it a US Grand Prix at Indianapolis?
Yes, correct. Oh. How many people were there?
440,000?
250,000 for the race day.
Oh.
The highest Grand Prix attendance for the race weekend.
Yeah.
520,000.
Oh, okay. I was way.
That was for the 1995 Australian Grand Prix.
Oh, that's quite interesting. I wouldn't have guessed that. But the most on raced on a single
was
race
the 2000.
Date. 2000
United States Grand Prix.
Oh, that's
but now one other fact here. I wonder if you could tell me, just to close it off.
Yeah.
How many races had zero attendees in them due to the COVID-19 pandemic?
Oh,
so Grand Prix held behind closed doors due to the COVID-19.
How many
pandemic.
Races didn't have any fans?
I would have no
any
idea.
Fans? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there was Austria. And then
so that was the first
one. I would
one,
say
yeah.
about
2020.
I would
Austrian.
Say about five.
Says thinking, here,
yeah,
17.
Oh wow, was 17 of them had no.
So
really?
Do you want me to list
wow.
them?
I can't. Well,
we're Austria. So in 2020, it was Austria, Styrian, Hungarian, British, 70th anniversary, which yeah. is also a British one.
Yeah, that was also in Britain.
Spanish, Belgian, Italian, Emilia. Romagana.
Which
Imola.
Is Imola. Yep. Turkish, Bahrain, Sakir, Abu Dhabi. So basically that whole
oh my gosh,
2020 season.
I just didn't even
kind of
register
yeah, I kind of
that.
Forgot about that.
Forget.
Yeah. I remember they because I remember seeing it at Austria in the season opener, but then I guess you just sort
you
of...
You don't think? Yeah, and also in 2021, it looks like the first five, Imola again, Portuguese, Spanish, and Azerbaijan. Or is that... Yeah, some
that
of those.
That sounds
ones.
About right.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
That's right.
Wow, there was a lot of races behind
yeah.
closed doors.
Zero fans. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's quite interesting. I'd kind of forgotten all about
that's,
that.
That's mad.
It's an
Look,
interesting.
Should we move into our predictions for the final
sounds
race
good.
Before the winter break, lads?
Yeah, I think I'm going to come out straight away with...
just for the record, it's the
Hungarian Grand Prix.
Grand
Prix.
And actually, I think last time we were here, Steve, we talked about how maybe before... predictions, could you just outline what the circuit's like and who you think
in
2 minutes how you'll think that might favour certain
well very
teams.
Very quickly, Hungary is described very much as Monaco without the barriers, so it's a slow speed circuit, it needs downforce, how powerful your engine is doesn't really matter in Hungary so much, it's a hard track to overtake on, so qualifying is really important. And it's, I think it's previously actually we've seen some strategy battles there where it was one year, was it Lewis did it where he pitted for the second time and came back, made the time back up and then overtook Max, I think it was, in 2020, I want to say. So watch out for that, I guess, with strategy as well. But I think it'll probably suit Ferrari. I think Ferrari's shown to be a bit stronger around those slower speeds.
And is that going to be your prediction, Ferrari?
Yeah, I was going to say... if the engine doesn't blow up, Ferrari will win it. And if Charles Leclerc doesn't, you know, make a mistake, spin off.
Yeah, right. God, he's got that reputation now.
But
he's got to be careful.
But is that pressure as well?
Yeah. But he's on thin ice, right?
Yes. Look what happened to Sebastian Vettel at Ferrari. I mean,
oh,
he
fell off
started,
a cliff, didn't
yeah, he started making yeah. mistakes and
yeah.
he just lost
everything.
Was there
a crash in 2018, which was the start of it, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that one sort of threw the championship away at that point, or threw the championship challenge away at that point. And then 2019, he just made mistake after mistake.
Uh-oh,
yeah.
Come on, Charles, don't do that.
He's younger, anyway, though. He's got his youth.
We've got to keep on the predictions.
Yep. All right, I am going to fire back and say that Perez will be... All right, so Perez isn't going to win, but he's going to be on the podium. It'll be a double podium for Red Bull.
Okay, you're saying double podium
Verstappen.
You think Ferrari will win, Steve?
Yeah, I seem to remember reading a comment. I think it was from Christian Horner saying that their car would struggle more. Though I could be really embarrassingly wrong here and have...
To be fair, both our predictions could work. Ferrari could win, Red Bull could get 2-3. I reckon that could happen.
There was definitely one of Ferrari or Red Bull who said, you know, our car is not going to be as strong around this circuit and that's going to hand it back to the other, but now I can't remember if it was Ferrari or Red Bull.
Oh well,
and that's a bit embarrassing for me, but I'll try and figure that one out.
What about you, Rory?
For me, I'm going to make a pretty bold claim here, and I can back up why I think this will be the race that Mercedes win, and the reason why is I think, like Stephen said, a circuit that doesn't necessarily need that frontline pace. They don't have the frontline pace, but I think they've got two of the best drivers on the grid. I think they've got the best driver on the grid in Lewis. And I think some crazy stuff will happen. I think potentially Charles Leclerc
Chaos.
And Max might come together. I've said that a few times. That hasn't happened. But I think this circuit favours Mercedes. And I just feel like something's building. That Silverstone Grand Prix went really well for Lewis. The French Grand Prix went really well for Lewis. I think something is definitely building.
Lewis has a really good record in Hungary as well.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I was going to say I do remember him winning races there before. So I think Lewis will win the race.
Okay, that's but hold it at Mercedes winning a race because you give yourself
a chance. Mercedes will
Russell
win the
could
race.
Get in there.
Yeah, could, yeah.
But that's a very interesting prediction. Unfortunately, we can't talk too much about it because we have 1 minute left. Let's end it here, guys.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been good. So viewers, tune in to the Hungarian Grand Prix, and we'll see whose predictions come right.
Yes, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to 3Pre1Cast. If you want to catch up on any of our episodes, check us out on Plains FM, Apple Podcast, or Spotify.
Come and say hi to us on Instagram and TikTok at 3Pre1Cast.